There are dragons in the twins' vegetable garden. Meg Murray took her head out of the refrigerator where she had been foraging for an after-school snack and looked at her 6-year-old brother. What? There are dragons in the twins' vegetable garden. Or there were. They've moved to the north pasture now. Meg, not replying. It did not do to answer Charles Wallace too quickly when he said something odd. Returned to the refrigerator. I suppose I'll have lettuce and tomato as usual. I was looking for something new and different and exciting. Meg, did you hear me? Yes, I heard you. I think I'll have liverwurst and cream cheese. She took her sandwich materials and a bottle of milk and set them out on the kitchen table. Charles Wallace waited patiently. She looked at him, scowling with an anxiety she did not like to admit to herself, at the fresh rips in the knees of his blue jeans, the streaks of dirt grained deep in his shirt, a darkening bruise on the cheekbone under his left eye. Okay. Did the big boys jump you in the schoolyard this time, or when you got off the bus? Meg, you aren't listening to me. I happen to care that you've been in school for 2 months now, and not a single week has gone by that you haven't been roughed up. If you've been talking about dragons in the garden or wherever they are, I suppose that explains it. I haven't. Don't underestimate me. I didn't see them till I got home. Whenever Meg was deeply worried, she got angry. Now she scowled at her sandwich. I wish Mother'd get the spreadable kind of cream cheese. This stuff keeps going right through the bread. Where is she? In the lab, doing an experiment. She said to tell you she wouldn't be long. Where's Father? He got a call from L.A. and he's gone to Washington for a couple of days. Like the dragons in the garden, their father's visits to the White House were something best not talked about at school. Unlike the dragons, these visits were real. Charles Wallace picked up Meg's doubting. But I saw them, Meg, the dragons. Eat your sandwich and come see. Where's Sandy and Dennis? Soccer practice. I haven't told anybody but you. Suddenly sounding forlorn, younger than his 6 years, he said, I wish the high school bus got home earlier. I've been waiting and waiting for you. Meg returned to the refrigerator to get lettuce. This was a cover for some rapid thinking, although she couldn't count on Charles Wallace not picking up her thoughts, as he had picked up her doubts about the dragons. What he had actually seen, she could not begin to guess. That he had seen something? Something unusual? She was positive. Charles Wallace silently watched her finish making the sandwich, carefully aligning the slices of bread and cutting it in precise sections. I wonder if Mr. Jenkins has ever seen a dragon. Mr. Jenkins was the principal of the village school, and Meg had had her own troubles with him. She had small hope that Mr. Jenkins would care what happened to Charles Wallace, or that he would be willing to interfere in what he called the normal procedures of democracy. Mr. Jenkins believes in the law of the jungle, she spoke through a mouthful. Aren't there dragons in the jungle? Charles Wallace finished his glass of milk. No wonder you always flunk social studies. Eat your sandwich and stop stalling. Let's go and see if they're still there. They crossed the lawn, followed by Fortinbras, the large black, almost Labrador dog, happily sniffing and snuffling at the rusty autumnal remains of the rhubarb patch. Meg tripped over a wire hoop from the croquet set and made an annoyed grunt, mostly at herself, because she had put the wickets and mallets away after the last game and forgotten this one. A low wall of barberry separated the croquet lawn from Sandy's and Dennis's vegetable garden. Fortinbras leaped over the barberry, and Meg called automatically, "Not in the garden, Fort!" and the big dog backed out between rows of cabbage and broccoli. The twins were justly proud of their organic produce, which they sold around the village for pocket money. A dragon could make a real mess of this garden, Charles Wallace said, and led Meg through rows of vegetables. I think he realized that because suddenly he sort of wasn't there. What do you mean, he sort of wasn't there? Either he was there or he wasn't. He was there, and then when I went to look closer, he wasn't there, and I followed him. Not really him, because he was much faster than I, and I only followed where he'd been. And he went to the big glacial rocks in the north pasture. Meg looked scowlingly at the garden. Never before had Charles Wallace sounded as implausible as this. He said, "Come on," and moved past the tall sheaves of corn, which had only a few scraggly ears left. Beyond the corn, the sunflowers caught the slanting rays of the afternoon sun, their golden faces reflecting brilliance. "Charles, are you all right?" Meg asked. It was not like Charles to lose touch with reality. Then she noticed that he was breathing heavily, as if he'd been running, though they had not been walking rapidly. His face was pale, his forehead beaded with perspiration as though from overexertion. She did not like the way he looked, and she turned her mind back to the unlikely tale of dragons, picking her way around the luxuriant pumpkin vines.